The islands I'll be talking about are the islands of Micronesia that lie to the north and south of the equator and on both sides of the international date line. This includes the Republic of Palau, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, the Federated States of Micronesia, the Republic of the Marshall Islands, and the Territory of American Samoa. These are some of the most beautiful places on Earth, from the rock islands of Palau to beautiful Panape in the Federated States of Micronesia, from the gorgeous sandy beaches of Saipan to the tropical mountains of American Samoa. First, why is hearing screening good news for babies? It's good news because the early identification of hearing loss is important, because hearing loss is the most prevalent condition at birth that we can identify, and because undetected hearing loss has serious consequences, while dramatic benefits result from early identification. So universal newborn hearing screening meets all the criteria for screening. It's frequent. Good things happen when you find the problem early, and bad things happen if you don't identify the problem early. These are the published prevalence rates from newborn hearing screening. We find that they vary from a low of 1.71 babies born with a hearing loss in Rhode Island to a high of 4.15 per thousand for those born in Hawaii. Additionally, we need to screen in Oceania because documented published reports found that there is where the highest incidence of chronic middle ear disease exists. Newborn hearing screening is identified by the 1-3-6 goals. By 1 month, all babies need to have their hearing screened. By 3 months of age, all referred babies need to have a diagnostic evaluation completed. And by 6 months of age, all babies who have been diagnosed with a hearing loss need to begin early intervention services. Completing those 1-3-6 goals are a real challenge in remote and rural island nations without ENT specialists and without audiologists. The newborn screening part is really the easy part. It only takes minutes. Limited training is required, and the equipment gives objective results. We can train paraprofessionals in a very short period of time to become extremely competent screeners. We don't need a special testing facility, just a relatively quiet location. And the equipment itself is not only objective, but it prints out the results for inclusion in the child's medical record. These are the results of published reports of what is happening with newborn screening around the world. There's only about 8 countries, including the United States, that are screening more than 90% of their babies. Another 10 are screening 30 to 80%, but the most developing countries are screening less than 30% of their children at birth. Compared, the islands of the Pacific are doing a pretty good job. The program started over a 20-year period, but they are now all screening almost all their babies. But once the baby is screened, the diagnostic evaluation is really the challenging part, because this takes hours, and it requires highly skilled audiologists with special facilities and who have expensive equipment. The audiological services that need to be provided, because there aren't local audiologists, we're using a combination of itinerant audiologists and telehealth audiology. We need to build special testing facilities in each major location. And the audiological evaluation requires an extensive array of equipment because of the different developmental and chronological age differences of children. So for the children in the first few months of life, we need to depend on ABR, or auditory brainstem testing. After about 6 to 8 months, we can then use visual reinforcement audiometry. And generally, after 2 years, we can use play audiometry with children. We team the itinerant audiologist with a local person to provide an explanation of what's happening and to explain the results of the test and what is needed next. We find the families in these islands truly care about their children's hearing. They keep their appointments, they come, and they're very appreciative for the services they receive. It is very easy to test these children who've never been exposed to the equipment or the toys to condition them to play audiometry very easily. But once we've diagnosed the child, early intervention services are really the hard part, because once the loss is identified, you have a long-term commitment to that child and family that takes months and years and requires skilled, well-trained personnel. When we identify a deaf infant, we need to make decisions about amplification, we need to implement services, but probably most importantly, we need to support those families to be able to communicate with their child. It's difficult to do these services because, again, we don't have those kinds of early intervention services in the islands, or speech-language pathology, or support services for families. We work very hard to use public media to try to remove the stigma from a disability or a hearing loss, and to encourage the population to understand why communication and the development of language is so important for their children. This was one of our first success stories. This little girl is 6 weeks old and it's her first day of school. She has a moderate bilateral hearing loss and she has Down syndrome. Poverty is endemic in these areas. Services are provided in natural environments in the homes that are generally without furniture, often without refrigeration, no toys, no books. However, the children and the families respond to opportunities to learn and to learn communication skills just like families everywhere. One of our first priorities is always to try to develop sign language classes for families so they can communicate effectively with their children. And to bring the families together, we have no hands and voices, we have no parent support groups. So we try to bring the families together for mutual support and advocacy. This is our most recent success story. Jesse was born in the Marshall Islands. He was screened at birth and referred. He was diagnosed with a severe to profound loss at 3 months. And at 4 months, he was fitted with a hearing aid and began early intervention services. So in summary, newborn hearing screening, the easy part is the screening, the challenging part is the diagnostics, and the really hard part is providing early intervention services. So now, why is newborn hearing screening good news, but not just for the babies? In the developing world, hearing impairment is the most common disability. Over 600 million people, or about 10% of the world's population, has some degree of hearing loss. The percentage, the prevalence, is double in developing countries from the developed world. And we know that when a hearing loss is present, it makes communication difficult, it makes education more challenging, and employment more difficult. Hearing healthcare really requires opportunities for identification, for audiologic diagnostic services, for medical and surgical care, and for rehab. Yet this is the area that is larger than the continental United States, and there is not a single ENT specialist, no audiologist, no speech-language pathologist, no early intervention program, no system for providing amplification, and not a single cochlear implant. The United States has been responsible for American Samoa. It has owned it for more than a century. And this is the state of health care in American Samoa. The name is impressive. Lyndon Baines Johnson Tropical Medical Center. The The reality is that there are Quonset huts that are understaffed and under-resourced, and this is actually the best there is in the Pacific. As far as primary care outside the district centers, this is generally what it's like. So for identification of hearing loss, the only place where we have any opportunity is in newborn hearing screening, because those are the only resources available. We try to expand those resources to make public awareness, to try to encourage screening of school-aged children, and to begin to try to prevent hearing loss from noise exposure and from chronic middle ear disease. It is really sad that in this area with the highest prevalence of chronic ear disease, there is no primary care and no specialty care for the treatment of these people. When we build test booths and provide equipment, we try to train a local audiometrist to provide services in between the visits by the audiologist. When the audiologist is there, not only does that person provide evaluations for the babies, but they see older children with developmental problems and try to assess the status of their hearing. When I bring an ENT specialist out to the islands, after he sees the babies, he then was able to see this 8-year-old with acute mastoiditis. So this 8-year-old boy following surgery had a lot of reasons to be grateful for newborn hearing screening. So did this 30-year-old woman with a life-threatening cholesteatoma. Or this young man whose middle ears on both sides had been destroyed by chronic middle ear disease, and following the surgery, his hearing was significantly improved. We still have not been able to solve the challenges imposed by trying to provide amplification. There is no distribution and supply system. The cost even of batteries for this population is really a challenge. And because the environment itself really plays havoc with hearing aids. So tell me why. We have federal funding for these islands that are strategically identified with the United States. We have funding for newborn hearing screening. There is no funding for newborn metabolic screening, no funding for hearing screening for older children, no funding for services for those with hearing loss, and no funding for children with other special needs. Newborn hearing screening identifies not only babies with hearing loss, but babies with cleft lip and palate, babies with Down syndrome, babies with cerebral palsy, babies with vision loss, and those who fail to thrive or who have other special needs. So do you think we're going to turn a blind eye to those children? We try to find whatever we can do to help all the children we identify, not just those with hearing loss. We found in the Marshall Islands that it likely has the world's highest prevalence of cleft lip and palate. Many of these children had not had any repairs done. So we've used newborn hearing screening to find resources to bring surgeons in, do further surgeries on those children, and to bring those families together for support and advocacy. We've never gone in for testing babies when we didn't identify older children who had not previously been identified. This 5-year-old was unfortunate enough to be born before newborn hearing screening began. But when we had an audiologist there, we were able to test him and get him into services. So the take-home message today that I would like to encourage you to take is that the good news is that there are federal resources that are being used to expand hearing health care for people and to operate a system of care for all children with special needs. But the bad news is that the needs far exceed the available resources. So long from the children of the Marshall Islands who are appreciative for the newborn hearing screening program. If you have questions, or more importantly, if you have ideas about how you could make contributions to this area, please get in touch with me. Aloha.